This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring author, psychologist, and daily contributor, Siobhan Scott.
It's not every day that someone comes to you from a position of authority and tries to make things up and lie to you and basically tell you, hey, you know that thing that seemed really important before that anyone would think is really important? Well, it's just not. It's not. Let's move on. It's not. But that's what's happening in Delphi right now, of course, in the case of Richard Allen, the man accused of killing those two little girls. What they're saying right now is that evidence, interviews that were conducted the very week the murders took place with potential suspects, Odinists, actually, that doesn't matter. No big deal. We taped over it. There was a Matlock rerun marathon going on. We had to get that. Far more important. They didn't have that part in. But who knows? I don't know what they taped over it with. Joining me to discuss, Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author. Are they that dumb? or are they living in, is it an echo chamber and a bubble going on there at Delphi in the prosecutor's office and with the police department and the judicial system, where everybody is just so entrenched in their way of thinking of everybody's out to get us, we are doing the right thing, this is all this was. To be able to say a statement like that, that key interviews with people early on in this investigation being taped over are not evidence at all related to this case. That's the quote.
And that may be their belief.
Yeah.
You know? Or they may be, you know, just going on defense mode right now because they know they screwed up. That's probably my guess, is it's a big oops. And how are we going to handle this now? Just say it wasn't that important.
I mean, it feels like a lot of this case is a big oops, and it's a cover up for that oops. And in the covering up of that oops, there's another oops. And then oops, got to cover up for that oops with another thing. And one thing after another gets us to this maddening place of conspiracy and just mistrust in the whole thing. An interesting thing to note, incompetent behavior also very easy to masquerade as something that does kind of look like conspiracy, does it not?
Very true. Very true. Yeah. And usually the conspiracy angle, when it comes to any government entity, it doesn't really fly because they're not organized enough to create an actual conspiracy. So usually it's accidents and oops and then, you know, rationalizing.
And that's a good point, because conspiracy, you do need competency to pull that off.
You do. You have to really coordinate among a lot of people, too. Yeah.
So to actually pull off a conspiracy is a lot more difficult. But in a case like this, where you have, you know, just so much attention onto it, to have all this evidence just be gone, it really, you know, it paints a very dark picture. One of the points that they made to the defense, who were saying, we'd like to see that interview. We got notes. Sure, you got notes, your notes, from people that were already kind of questioning the accuracy of. You can also re-interview them. Let's talk about that for a moment. Re-interviewing these people who may have been suspects at one point in time, at least a person of interest to some level to be talked to by investigators early on. Now sitting them down and talking to them 7-8 years later, how different of a conversation would that likely be?
I think it would be a very different conversation, particularly with all the press that obviously they're going to be aware of at this point. So if they have been, let's, you know, take this unusual position that they were involved in some way. Well, they've got plenty of time now to think about how they would present a story to, you know, cover their tracks if they were. I'm still not at all convinced that this is an Odinist, you know, ritualistic murder for a lot of reasons.
Oh, sure.
But yeah, when you look at the big picture, it's just unfortunate because we would love to be able to see those interviews in trial.
With so many people in this and this, so much time that's gone by and evidence that wasn't really collected properly or documented properly, and the fact that it took how many years for them just to finally go to the CVS worker who raised his hand many years earlier and said, I was there, how can I help? And say, you're our guy. Are we ever going to get to the bottom of this? You know, are we ever truly, do you think, going to figure out who killed these little girls? In a true, accurate sense, like I know we'll probably get to a trial at some point with Richard Allen if he makes it there. But even then, I feel like there'd still be a ton of questions, even if found guilty. And I'm sure appeals would take place and probably another trial. But if they're not looking anywhere other than Richard Allen, how do you get there?
Yeah, I don't know. This is a trial I am definitely eager to see because there's so much speculation, you know, the talk of conspiracies, the incompetent behavior, the unusual judge, you know, it is one that we're going to need to look at very closely.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advance access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial free.
So you can binge on true crime.
Until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now. Or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.